Hey everyone, welcome to KC. My name is Cody. If you don't know me, I am one of the pastors on staff here. I get to work with the youth and young adults and the next gen team, and it is awesome. I love having youth and young adults here, just helping them learn and grow in Jesus. So if you're new and you have students in grade 7 to 12, or you're a new young adult, come and find me, send me an email. Look me up on social media. I'd love to help you get connected so you can be a part of our community. I'm also really excited to be here with you all this weekend as we continue on in our series through the book of Acts. We're going to be picking up in Acts 19 again, right where Simon left off last week. If you didn't listen to his message, hey, I want to encourage you, go check it out. Give some great context understanding as to where we are. But just so you know, if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, we are in Ephesus. And Ephesus is this crazy idolatrous city. It's full of greed and power and money hungry people. It was the home of the temple for the Greeks, the Greek goddess Artemis, who's the goddess of fertility. And with that comes all kinds of just disgusting, nasty practices. So a whole lot of like sexual indecency was going on in this city. If I had to liken it to a city that we know of and more familiar with now, like my mind right away goes to Las Vegas, you know, Sin City. So if you've been there and you loved it, hey, no worries. Like, I don't judge you for that. It's just where my mind goes, because I think of Vegas and I think of just, you know, like the greed and the gambling and the sex and everything that happens in Vegas. So that's where my mind goes in Ephesus. So we're going to pick up in Acts 19. Great things were happening in Ephesus as Paul is ministering and the Spirit is moving. And you can hear more about that if you go and watch Simon's message from last week. So let's jump in and read from Acts 19, verse 23. It says, "About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. He called them together, along with the workmen in related trades, and said, 'Men, you know we receive a good income from this business, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and practically in the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped through the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty.' Now when they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, 'Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!' And soon the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus, that's a hard name, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and rushed as one man into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials from the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater." God, as we jump into your word and we look at this story and just the craziness that's happening here, God, I pray that you would work and that you would speak to our hearts today. Spirit, I thank you for just the work you've been doing in my own heart, my own mind as I've been prepping for this. And I pray that you would do that work in the people of KC, in the people who are tuning in with us today. So, God, move and speak, I pray, in your name. Amen. All right, so we are going to be looking at how the Holy Spirit helps us to be empowered to change. I want us to think about, as this text shows us, that when change happens, challenge comes. What I mean by that is as our lives are being changed and transformed by the Spirit, we should expect challenges to come. So we're going to look at change, and then we're going to look at challenge. I think it's really important to unpack some of the changes that were happening in Ephesus to help us really understand why this guy who doesn't know Jesus, he's not a believer, why he is so upset and he's furious and he's like flipping cars and burning buildings and you know, like 2011 Vancouver Canucks lose the Stanley Cup final, riot stuff, like why he's so angry and why that's happening. And to him, we get that kind of information in verse 26, right? He says that Paul has convinced these people and led them astray. So to him, there has been this change that's happening, and because of Paul's ministry there. So I want to look more at what this change was, right? As the Spirit is working, people were changing and lives were being transformed, and that resulted in the landscape of this city, the culture of this city to be altered. So what change was happening? Well, I think that if we go to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to this church in Ephesus, we get to see some of the changes that Paul was talking about. So we're going to unpack a little bit about that. Just a quick flyover over some of the changes that Paul talks about in his letter to the Ephesians. It's Ephesians 4 and 5. I want to encourage you, read that letter. It will help you give some context to what's going on in this scene. But let's take a look. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul starts off by noting the importance of being united as a community. So in Ephesians 4, he starts off by saying, I urge you, I beg you to be people who live a life worthy of your calling, of the calling you've received. And then that calling is someone who has been called into the family of God, a son and daughter, someone who bears his image, someone who represents the crucified and the resurrected Christ, the creator and the sustainer of the world. Right, he's saying live a life worthy of the calling, which another way to say that is, hey, remember who you represent. Let your life be worthy of that representation. And he says we can do that by being humble, by completely humble and gentle. And what he means here is that we are not to be proud people. That we need to have a great awareness of our own inadequacies. That we are aware that we are not better than anyone, that we do not stand above anyone, but rather, like everyone else, we are in desperate need of a Savior. Right, we say at KC often that we want to be a church that is not a museum of saints, where we just have people who you know, like, know Jesus and sit and look at all the great things we've done. No, we want to be a hospital for sinners, a place where we know where we stand, where we know our need. And Paul continues to say that as you do this, remember to bear with one another, to be patient, to make every effort to keep the unity that the Spirit longs to develop in you. Make every effort to keep that unity. And he goes on to speak in chapter 4 of how each and every one of us, we have a part. We need each other. We play a role in this community. That if we are going to grow to be more and more like Christ, developing a community that is healthy and growing and full of love, that one of the biggest changes that needs to happen for us is to move from living individually, independent, with like a me-centric view, into one that says, no, I am in this community. I'm not alone. You see, because the people of God, when they work together as a community, they bring about the changes in the kingdom of God, as they're empowered by the Spirit of God. So he begins to point out this change from individualistic living to community living, saying, hey, big change that needs to happen in Ephesians, and that we see was obviously happening in this text, that they were being united as a community. And what I think is important is he continues to go on and show them what that looks like. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, you guys need to be unified, you guys need to be a community, no more individual living. And it's another thing to say, so here's what this actually looks like. In Ephesians 4, 21 to 24, Paul writes this. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Listen, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Friends, we cannot and we will not change ourselves. Try as hard as we may, We cannot and will not change ourselves. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. So some of us, whether we've been doing this church thing for a while or we're new, some of us actually have no idea what it's like to have the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. You have no idea what it is like to live a life that is renewed and changed by the Spirit. Why? Because you have not let Him do it. Simon said last week that some of us, we love the Christian story. We love being a part of Jesus as like an insurance policy, you know, like, you know, we love the eternal security that comes when we give our lives to Jesus, but we miss out on the life and the freedom and the mission that He has for us, that's available for us and accessible for us right now. So let the Spirit in. You have to let Him. I have to let him. So Paul continues on and he goes in to look at this new nature, what it looks like to be renewed by the Spirit. And here are some of the changes that Paul says. Changes that as we look at this passage in Acts, we can see were happening because it was causing the landscape of this city to be changed. So Paul goes, hey, as the Spirit's going to work in you, you're going to move from telling lies to speaking truthfully. Right? Like, from being so focused on trying to protect your image, trying to protect your stuff that you have to lie about, to moving to a place where you're speaking the truth. You have nothing to hide. You just want to speak the truth. He goes, you're going to move from being controlled by anger, driven by rage, short tempers, bitterness, revenge, like to being patient and kind and forgiving. Now, if I'm perfectly honest with you, some of you know me, but just so those of you who don't can get a little window into my life, I can be known as someone who can be grumpy, who can be cynical, who can be really short-tempered at times. And I know this, and I've been saying, Spirit, I want to let you in to renew me in this, because I want to be someone who's more patient and kind. And so I've been on this journey, and I know that I still have work to do, because I often will ask my boys, hey, what do you think Daddy needs to work on? And without hesitation, my oldest will often go, I think you can be more patient, Dad. And I know he says that because I know with him, I can be quite short. Right, he does something I don't like, and I just snap. Instead of being patient and kind and forgiving, I just snap. So I say, Spirit, renew me. I need you to do a work. I need you to renew my thoughts and my attitudes. Paul says, you're going to go from stealing, from trying to gather and hoard all these things for yourself, to being someone who is generous, to living a life of generosity where what you have isn't yours, and you are looking for how you can help those in need. He says, you're going to move from speaking foolishly and engaging in like those crude jokes that, you know, like you kind of feel bad at laughing at, but whatever, they're funny, from abusive language where you belittle and you slander and you talk behind people's back and you're gossiping, to using your mouth and your words to build people up, to encourage people, to being full of thankfulness. He says, as the Spirit works, you're going to move from being full of greed and sexual immorality, from hiding those secret addictions, those marital affairs, those weekend flings, those things you go to, you know, in pursuit of personal pleasure that really have a negative impact on you. He says, you're going to move from that to being someone who loves and cares and respects yourself and loves and cares other people for who they are and doesn't treat them as objects to be used. He says, you're going to move, as the Spirit works in you, you're going to move from being people who overindulge in destructive habits. He says, you know, don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So as you are being filled, continually be filled with the Spirit so the Spirit can renew and renew you. I just think of all those changes, and I think of what was going on in Ephesus, and I just go, man, I want to be a part of that type of community. Like, that's the community that I want to be like, right? Like, to be people who are being filled and renewed, people who are living together in unity, building one another up and encouraging each other, speaking truthfully, living generously, like, just loving and caring, knowing the mission, knowing where they stand, knowing what they want to do, and they're just bringing about what's good and right and true, right? Like, that's the type of community that I want to be a part of. I know some of you are searching for something, some sort of community as well, and you're like, yeah, that sounds like the type of community that I want to be a part of too, Cody. And I think what we need to realize is that this isn't just a community that we saw back in Acts. That this is available to you and I today. It's something that we can lean into if we would let the Spirit work in us, if we would let the Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes. You see, if we let the Spirit change the way we think, He's going to change the way we live. So a question that I have for you, what needs to change? What changes are needed in your life to bring about this community? Right? Maybe you've been sitting for a while with like the Spirit at arm's length, saying, no, I'm fine just to do this thing. I want to invite you and challenge you into something so much greater than you are currently experiencing and let you know that something probably has to change. So will you let the Spirit in to do the work that He so desires to do in you? Friends, like he wants to bring this change, and I want you to know that He is. That this weekend is a special weekend because we get to stand with and celebrate the baptisms of a large number of people at KC, and it's exciting. Of people who are saying, yes, Spirit, I want you to renew me. I want to be a part of this community. I want to be someone who wants to make an impact for the kingdom of God. So let's take a short time. Let's take some time here to listen to the stories of these people who are being renewed by the Spirit.
Hi, my name's Dick Sharples. I turned 84 just a couple of days ago. I've been a Christian for 16 months. That leaves a lot of my life that I was out there on my own. I've run a successful business. I was very, very content with my life, I thought. I was president of Chamber of Commerce. I was president of golf course. I retired early and moved to Gabriel Island, where I golfed every day. Sunday was the day not to go to church. Sunday was the day to golf in tournaments. Curling, bond spills, fish. But my sister, who is a missionary in Maui, had a knee operation in February of last year, and I went down to spend 2 months with her, driving her around so she could recuperate, being her cook, being her bottle washer. And I even went to church with her because that was what Sunday was all about to her. I was due to come home on a Monday, and COVID was closing borders. Nobody knew exactly what was happening. And on Sunday afternoon, I thought, I've got another week of insurance left. Let's see if I can change my flight back to Seattle. So I did. I phoned Alaska Air, and they gave me another week. So that Saturday night, I went to church in a place in Maui called Hope Chapel. And somehow, Ben, the minister, got to me along with God and the Holy Spirit. And before it was all over, I was down on my knees asking God to forgive me, to be my Savior, to rule my life. Because of COVID, when I came back, I could not go back to Courtney where I was living because of grandchildren. So I've got a beautiful daughter here in town, and I came to live with her for a month. I'm still here. During that month, I decided if I was going to be a Christian, I was going to be all in. I was not going to be a half-hearted one. I took Alpha. What an amazing course. If you get a chance to take Alpha, jump into it. It's amazing. And then somehow I got talked into taking Rooted. That's another great, great choice. Course. Again, if you get a chance, take Rooted. I'm involved in a men's Bible study here. I'm involved in a life group here. and I'm involved in two Ohana groups out of Maui. I'm still not sure what God wants me to do with the rest of my life. All I know is that whatever He wants, I'm prepared to do. Today, I'm showing the world that I'm giving my life to God. As I go under the water, my old life is going away and my new life will come out. And I praise God for that. The other thing is, if you got relatives, friends who you've been praying for, don't give up. My mother and my two sisters prayed for me for years. They never gave up. In the end, God listened to their prayers and brought me to Him. Today, I thank God for that.
My name is Katie, and I was born and raised in a Christian home. I grew up knowing and understanding God, but I would say that my main reason for going to church was to please God and gain value from Him and others, and to earn His approval by being a good moral person. I felt like going to church was the right thing to do, but it really wasn't until I got older that I realized that I couldn't just ride the faith of my parents or others around me. It had to be my own, and I wanted to have a relationship with Him. I accepted God into my life when I was 9 years old. I was at Eagle Bay Camp, and there was a campfire where the leader asked us, "Do you know Jesus personally? Do you understand that He came and died on the cross for you personally?" That meant a lot to me. It meant that this wasn't just a faith where God was high in the sky, but that Jesus came and died on the cross to have a personal relationship with me. For all the wrongs I have done in my life, all the times I've been impatient with my family and friends, in spite of all of this, God still wanted to have a relationship with me, and I didn't have to earn His approval. He had called me enough, and He loved me so much. For Romans 38:39, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This Bible verse is such a wonderful reminder of God's love. During this time at camp, the leader gave us some time to have a personal moment with God and gave us the opportunity to invite Him into our hearts and say, "Jesus, I choose you. I want to walk with you each and every day. I have come to the end of myself and I can't do this life alone without you." And that's the moment when I prayed and invited Jesus into my heart. The perspective of my life has been changed forever. Before knowing Jesus, I was living for people's approval, and I felt like I was running a race that was never ending. But now my life with Christ is much more satisfying, and I can find rest in Him each and every day.
My name is Ken Masalski, and I'm 23 years old. I was born and raised in a Christian home. And so I was always taught God loves me and that Jesus died for my sins. So I've always believed in Jesus. However, I did not really understand the point of His crucifixion and resurrection until I was about 14. It was on some random day, I was just lying down in bed, thinking about what Jesus had done and why the crucifixion was so significant. I finally understood that Jesus died for me to pay for my sins, He was resurrected and defeated death. On that day, I cried and gave my life to Jesus. For the next couple years, I was kind of asleep in my faith, that nothing was really happening. However, I did get into some apologetics, and I found that pretty fascinating. Then for a time, I got into a relationship with somebody that did not share the same faith as I did, and that really made me think who I was going to prioritize. Would it be Jesus or would it be somebody else? Eventually I decided to prioritize Jesus and be yoked with Him. As soon as that happened, things started to change in my life for the better. God gave me opportunities to serve, which was something that I always wanted to do when I would look at the people playing on worship or people in leadership positions for certain ministries, but I never felt qualified or skilled enough to do it. But as soon as I made the choice to follow God with all my heart, He presented me with amazing opportunities. One of which was serving at the youth ministry here. I became a part of that, and then soon after that, I was a cabin leader at Eagle Bay Camp, and then after that, I was the president of Focus Club, which is an international student ministries organization up at TRU. And so it was just pretty incredible to see God just working through me and using me to become a servant of His. So Jesus has given me a sense of purpose. We live in a world of chaos, and a lot of people don't know what's going on and can't make sense of what's going on outside. But knowing that Jesus has a plan for me, and that He takes care of me, and trials are put in place so that I can grow to be a more of a reflection of Jesus, it gives me a sense of purpose, and I can rest easy in that. I am not fearful, or I don't have to fear in my life for what's about to come or what I'm about to do, because I know that everything has a purpose to it, and so I can live my life more intentionally. As far as why I want to get baptized, it's more of recognizing that God wants me baptized. For some time, I wrestled with the idea of baptism. Since baptism is not required for salvation, I thought, well, why would I need to do it? Wouldn't it be better to just live every day trying to be like an example of Jesus? That's what I thought at the time. And yes, I do understand that baptism is a declaration, a public declaration of your faith. I thought, well, maybe I could just live every day trying to be an example of Jesus. But at the end of the day, no matter how I reason it, it is not my thoughts that matter, it is God's. And so this is a matter of obedience to me, that I follow His commandments to get baptized. So that's why I want to get baptized.
My name is Andy. It was the year 2010 when my father was diagnosed prostate cancer, and he was hoping he could at least meet my newborn daughter. My first thought was, I wish I could still see my parents even when they're gone one day. Since then, I started searching for information about science and God. And I realized science and God have no conflicts. My first prayer happened in New Year Eve 2016. We were supposed to meet some friends for the fireworks at Sun Peak, but I got so sick with the flu. I felt really tired laying at the couch as I started praying. 10 minutes later, I jump off the couch and fell 100% awake. We end up going to the fireworks. It was a miracle. God heals me because of love. And that reminds me how to treat others. When friends tell me they're having difficulties in marriage, I tell them what love is, per Corinthians 13:4. For me, to get baptized is a very important symbol that I'm reborn because of God's love. Yet this is not the end. It is only the beginning, as per Ephesians 4:1, as a prisoner for the Lord. Then I urge you to live a life worthy of calling you have received. Thank you.
So my name is Emily, and I'm really excited to get baptized. I gave my life to Christ when I was 10 years old at Eagle Bay. I remember the night that I did, there was like a distinct cross in the clouds, and that was kind of just like my calling to get baptized. So I gave my life to Jesus that night, and there was a lot of emotions, and I definitely felt the Holy Spirit around me because nature is also like my strongest point with God. I was raised in a religious home. My parents both believe, and my sister does, and I actually go to Kamloops Christian School. But my parents never like forced it on me, so they wanted it to be my decision to get baptized or whatever. So they've always encouraged it, but they never like forced to be like, oh, you have to be Christian and all that stuff. So my relationship with Jesus, before I gave my life to Christ, he was kind of just the guy in the sky that when you wanted something, you could pray to him and he'd give it to you. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. You wouldn't really know. There was a lot of doubt in it, and I didn't really believe in like heaven and stuff. Like, it was a possibility, but wasn't sure. And then after I gave my life to Christ, he became my friend, my guide, and most importantly, my rock. And I've kind of just built a new life on top of him since then. I've continued to grow over the past 4 years coming to the Alliance Youth, and my youth leaders, Emily, and as well as Cody, and just everyone around me too. They've really guided me to grow more and to understand God for who he is. I've definitely had a lot of up and down moments with the Lord. I've had some really rocky moments. In 18, my uncle passed away 5 days before my birthday. I remember that the only thing I wanted for my birthday was for him to come down and visit us. It was really hard because he wasn't like in my life a lot when I was younger, but then all of a sudden I met him and he just became like such an amazing person. He really helped me see that it was okay to be who you are. He wore a bumblebee costume to the boardwalk in the middle of Vancouver, and he didn't really care what anyone else thought. So it was really rough, and after he died, it led to a lot of self-destructive activities and behaviors, such as self-isolating and self-harm and things like that. And I actually self-harmed for 3 years, I want to say. And I've been clean for almost 2 years now, and that's definitely something that Jesus has really guided me through. And a Bible verse that he gave me was Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, plans for hope and a future." And that verse is actually something I plan to get tattooed on my arm one day because it's just guided me through some of the hardest parts of my life. And yeah, so, so that's kind of my story with Jesus. And I continue to grow more with him every day, with the people around me. My parents have been my hugest supporters in everything I do, whether it be my art, my music, my sports, and my life with Jesus, and just everything, so.
My name is Ed. I grew up in a Christian home and went to church together as a family. Like many others, as a teenager, I rebelled and stopped going to church. In 1975, I married a Christian girl and became a Christian and went to church on Sundays. This was the first time I gave my life, but did not follow up with baptism. That marriage ended in 1991. From there, I made some bad life choices, had a couple of relationships that didn't work, lost a very good job, and got into debt. I lived by the world and didn't follow God. I thought I could do it on my own. In 2015, my oldest son asked if I would move to British Columbia, buy a house with him. I thought about it for a few months and decided coming to British Columbia would be a good start on a new life. I would be able to be with my granddaughter. Life seemed good in British Columbia. Life really changed me on January 27th, 2018. On that day, I met Lena at A&W and we talked for hours. We talked about my family, which I would have not done with many people. It was like talking to an old friend. As we spent more time together, I realized how strong a Christian lady I had met. I asked her if I could come to church with her. She agreed, and I started to go to church with her in August 2018. I really enjoyed Kamloops Alliance Church because the saying They say this is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. I took the Alpha course in winter and spring of 2019. From here, we met our small group and joined them after Alpha in 2019. Lena and I married in May 2019. Then the struggle started with Satan. He didn't want to let go of me. I said things that later didn't make sense. It was a very rough time in our life. 18 months ago, we met a Christian counselor and we worked closely with her. By staying in the present and focusing on God, it helped keep Satan away, and I'm less tempted to romanticize the world past. Having a Christian people like the small group helps me stay focused on my Christian walk. Today, taking a Rooted course in January of 2021 gave me a guide and resource to stay focused. It made me realize I wanted to give my life to Jesus in a permanent way. Having Jesus in my life provided peace that was missing in my life. I want to be baptized to make a permanent commitment of my faith and work towards bringing others to God.
Hi, I'm Chris Harper, and today my wife Sarah, my kids Maddie and Taven, and I are excited to be getting baptized. I grew up in a strong Christian home, and I accepted Jesus at an early age, but growing up and into my 30s, my walk with Jesus was safe and convenient and only just lukewarm. This changed 7 years ago. My wife was listening to church podcasts at home and suggested that I listen to some during the long drives I did for my job. I know the Holy Spirit had been calling for me to listen and to understand more deeply. I remember the day and the moment listening to a podcast when I was hit with the enormity of what Jesus has done for us, and the extent and extravagance of God's grace and forgiveness through him. The podcast was around 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We aren't just forgiven. We are clothed and filled with his righteousness. I knew that I couldn't have a lukewarm faith anymore. I needed to be all in. Jesus calls us in Matthew 5:14-16. "You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Since then, my family and I have refocused Jesus to be the center of our lives. We look back over the last 7 years at how God is working in us, how our hearts have been transformed, and how our lives have changed. We reflect on how God has been good and faithful to us through good times and difficult ones. Our prayer is that we have a bold faith, that we love others without judgment, and that we shine God's light in practical and authentic ways. Being baptized today is us declaring our faith and is another step in our spiritual growth and living in obedience to him.
Hi, I'm Randy Patty, and this is my story. Most of the entirety of my childhood, I lived across the street from a church. My direct family had no religion, and I was raised to be a good person. I had attended church and Bible camps a few times as a kid with relatives, and had done youth group a bit in my teen years with friends, but never felt a pull towards Christianity or any other religion. Throughout the last year and a half to 2 years, I've been going through a very difficult separation and started to find myself being someone I wasn't proud of or happy to be due to words and actions brought from the bitterness of the separation. I felt like I needed more help than I could get through friends, counselors, etc. During this time, I started spending a lot of time with my neighbors. I knew they were Christians and we'd had a few minor conversations over the years, but nothing ever got through to me. One day, while out for a walk with my kids and my neighbor, he asked if I would be interested in doing the Alpha course with him. I accepted, as I had no reason to say no. My life was at a spot where it worked perfectly to fit in. When Alpha started, I felt quite overwhelmed, but also very excited. Every week, I came out of my shell a little bit more with help from the members of my Alpha group who knew I needed the push. As I started spending more time in his word, I kept reading things that made me feel like I was being spoken to directly, like God was reaching out to me. everything seemed to fit my life perfectly. I was having a conversation with one of my kids one night about Alpha and Jesus and my path so far. My daughter asked if I believed in God. I thought about it for a second and said, yes, I do. Then the next morning, as I was driving to work on a road I've driven 1,000 times, I noticed the shadow of a giant cross in the middle of the parking lot. That was it for me. It was my sign. Every day I spend in His Word, living in the life He has laid out for me, I feel myself returning to the person I was before, but an even better version of. I find peace in the Bible, enjoy meeting people that I share this faith with, and I feel like I belong. Through Alpha, what really stood out to me was Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. I could hear something my entire life. It was there before me, but it took me a while to pay attention to it. I am very excited to get baptized, to make a visual representation to others of where I know my faith is at in my heart.
Hi, my name is Nikki. I was raised Catholic. I believed in God and Jesus, however, never really felt the Holy Spirit in me. My life was hard, filled with pain and suffering. I made selfish and sinful choices along the way. I always felt I was the one in control of my life. I look back now and realize that God was calling me through it all. I just wasn't listening. 21 years ago, God showed me how little control I had. I was driving home and I got sunblinded. In that moment, I couldn't see anything. I hit a man on a bike and killed him. His name was Henry. He was a Christian that belonged to the Ephraim Church. When I got out of the police station, there were 4 ladies from the church there. I expected them to be full of rage and hate, but instead they were full of mercy and grace. They prayed for me. The church supported me by sending people with food and flowers and prayers. They welcomed me into a ladies' Bible study. I could hear God calling, but I was so full of shame and guilt. I was invited to a women's retreat. It was there that I surrendered my life for the first time and I felt the Holy Spirit. The heaviness in my heart lifted. God sent me help in my darkest valley. I'm so blessed that Jesus died for my sins and that Henry died so that I could see. At that time in my life, I was in the process of becoming a paramedic. I continued my goal and now have worked for BC Ambulance for over 20 years. It's not been an easy road. Being saved doesn't mean that I was free from pain and suffering. However, I know that God had me in His hands and that it was His plan, not mine. A year into my career, my 17-year-old nephew drowned. He died in my ambulance. That same year, my marriage fell apart. The story of my trials and pain is long. However, I never gave up hope that God has a plan for me, one to prosper, not to harm, one that gives me hope and a future. This past year at work was especially difficult. It took its toll on me, and in November, I was diagnosed with PTSD. I felt broken and alone and back in a dark valley. I prayed for God's help. I then heard Tim speak about Rooted. I felt so desperate that I needed something. I needed to belong. I needed roots. So I signed up without knowing what it was. I logged into Zoom that first night to see that there were 50 people. I was very grateful as it meant I didn't have to talk or share. Then Tim announced we'd be breaking into small groups. I felt panic and wanted to leave. I didn't want to be rude, so I stayed. The breakout room started and I could feel more anxiety come over me. On the screen, there were 9 faces. I didn't know. Our group leaders were Carol and Greg. After a quick introduction from each of us, they told us their story. It was humble and raw. It was how God's amazing grace is there for the broken and the weary. I came back each week, and each week someone else told their story. Each week it became apparent that God placed us together for a reason. I felt that God answered my prayers for help. It came through this new Rooted family with their stories, mercy, acceptance, and love. I thought about being baptized several times in the past. However, this time I felt the calling. Each week during Rooted, I felt closer to God. He was telling me to wash away the pain and the dirt of my past and to be clean and new. It became apparent to me that God was calling me to be baptized and to finally be free. I now know that God is using me through my brokenness, my scars, my story. I'm reminded daily of the scripture Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Oh, I love that, hearing stories of how Jesus is changing the lives right here at KC. If that doesn't fire you up, check your pulse, because that should, like, the Spirit moving and working in people's lives should get you fired up. So again, I want to ask you, will you let the Spirit do the work in you that He so desires to do? Do you want to be a part of this community? That community that radically impacts and changes the culture and landscape of cities. I mean, I do, and I sure hope that you do too. Now I also want to be real with you, because back in this text, the thing that we see here about change is that when change happens, challenge comes. Right, that's what this text does. You know, Ephesus is going through this entire huge change as people are being transformed by the Spirit, and then this challenge comes. Demetrius, this unbeliever, he gets upset and he's going, I don't like how things are happening. I don't like how these people are being impacted by the gospel. It is a challenge to the city, to the economy, to his livelihood. Right, he's like one of the guys who literally was responsible for making all these idols that these previous people would have bought, and he's like, I don't like this. This is not good for the city, not good for the province. And so he goes on the opposition. He goes on the challenge. He starts getting people upset and angry and fighting again. Like, we're talking 2011 Vancouver riots. You know, people are going crazy. He's raging because he's trying to incite fear amongst these new people of Jesus, hoping that maybe if they will be scared, they will abandon the life and the freedom that they have come to know and turn back to the darkness they used to live. Right? So as this change is happening, challenge comes. But that's not a message that preaches really well, right? Like, it's not great and it's not encouraging for me to come up here and say, hey guys, I want you to be involved in this awesome life change that the Spirit longs to do in you. And side note, as you do it, you're going to be challenged and you're going to face opposition, right? Like, I get that that's not, you know, like, the most preachable message. I understand that we live in a time and place where we love our comfort, we love our ease, we don't want to upset anyone, we don't want to do necessarily hard things, we just want to live and let live. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The way of Jesus is in complete contrast to the ways of the world. Right, the gospel and the good news of Jesus has and always will change. It has and always will challenge culture. And if we are living the way Jesus asks us to live, if we are letting the Spirit transform us and living in the way that Paul is describing, that we're seeing happening in Acts, we should expect to be challenged, because we are in a fight. And the enemy is going to do everything he can do to try and make us leave the life and the freedom that we have in Christ. Right? Just read the New Testament. Jesus, Paul, James, Peter, they all talk about it. Jesus says, hey, the world's going to hate you. He says, you're going to have troubles, but don't worry. I've overcome all of that. Paul and Peter and James actually talk about how when these trials and these challenges and these oppositions come, we should actually rejoice, which is a whole nother message for a whole nother time. But I love what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, he says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Right, so when we are being changed, we should expect to be challenged. And look, I'm not here today telling you that if your life is going to be changed by Jesus, if the Spirit is going to empower you to change, that you know, people close to you, people at your work, people in the city, that they're going to start rioting and it's going to be crazy and it's going to be bad. Like, yes, that has and does still happen, but I'm not saying that's going to be the normative experience. What I am saying is that the more we live our lives empowered by and enamored with Jesus, the more we are allowing the Spirit to work in our lives to change the way we live, the more we will stand against culture. the more we will stand in contrast to the ways of the world. And we shouldn't be surprised when, not if, we shouldn't be surprised when we face challenge and opposition. We should expect it to happen. And because we should expect it, we can be prepared for it. Right? That's why we started today looking at change, and now we're looking at challenge. Change and challenge, change and challenge. You see, one of the changes that was happening was the people of God becoming unified and becoming a strong community. Because one of the greatest ways we can be prepared for these challenges is to know that we aren't alone. To know that we belong to a people, to a group, to a community that has our back. You see, to be with Jesus is to be with his people. It's not a solo act. It's to be a part of people who are being renewed, building each other up, encouraging, living together, working together. So when you are challenged, you are not alone, right? We see this in this text. In Acts 19, verse 30, as the riots are raging and people are angry, and we see Paul wanting to go in to appear before these people. And his friends and his and the other disciples were like, no, Paul, not the place, not now, not here. Right? Paul is the type of guy who's just like, he's ready for a fight. Like, anytime there's a challenge, he's like, I'm in, let's go. Right? I'm like that too. If you know me, I love a fight, I love a challenge. Right? To me, life is boring if there isn't a fight. So I'm like Paul, and like Paul, I need people. And if you're like us, we need people who can come alongside us and say, not now, not here. We need that community around us, people close to us who know when we need that wisdom that we might lack. And I have friends like this. One of them you know, actually, is Pastor Chris. He was one of my youth pastors years and years ago. And like I said, I love a challenge, I love a fight. One of the places where I really loved to do this was online. I don't know why now that I look back, but one of the places I loved to challenge and get in debates was online, right? Like if there was like a Facebook discussion or I saw someone challenging my faith or my beliefs, like I was in the comment sections, I was there, I was going. And realistically, honestly, it probably had a more negative impact than it did positive, but I was in there thinking I was doing the Lord's work, until Chris pulled me aside one day and said, buddy, I love your passion. I love your enthusiasm. What does it look like to channel that somewhere else, somewhere that's going to be a little bit more fruitful for the kingdom, right? I needed someone to come alongside me and say, not here, not now. Now, I just want to take a moment just to comment on online debates and stuff, because I know that social media is big and it's an easy avenue for us to share an opinion or engage. But I want you to hear me out on this, because I speak from personal experience in this. So I want to hear I want you to hear me out. If you're someone who just like loves the online debates, you will not convince anyone to follow Jesus in the comment section. You will not, let me say that again, you will not convince anyone to follow Jesus in the comment section of a Facebook argument. They probably don't even know why they're there. They're just there to get a rile up. People that actually love and care for you are probably getting irritated by seeing you. And so this is me coming alongside you today saying, not here, not now. I love your passion. I love your enthusiasm. But there are better places for you to use your time and your energy that will actually have an impact on the kingdom. Now, some of you might not be a fighter, so if we're thinking fight, flight, freeze when challenge happens, some of you might be more in the flight or the freeze where like, you know, you are faced with a challenge and you don't know what to do, so you run, or you're faced with a challenge and you don't know what to do, so you just kind of like stand still. The point is, like, we all react to these challenges differently. The point is that if you're in the community, if you're part of the people of God, you will always have people around you who can come alongside you no matter how you react to this, right? So instead of running, the community, the people close to you can come and encourage you to stand firm in your faith, and then they will stand with you. If you are maybe more into like freezing, you just don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, you've been living your life and living your faith and now there's some challenge, and you're like, I don't know how to react to this, these people come alongside you and they equip and they encourage and they support you, because they know that's what you need. You just need some help to be able to defend and stand and remain strong. You see, that's one of the biggest changes. You know, that when you are a follower of Jesus, you become part of the people of Jesus. It's no longer a solo act. You are brought into the people, a community that is empowered to change and equipped to withstand challenge. So hear me out. I know that some of you are still participating at an arm's length, right? Some of you, maybe that's just because you've joined us online, so you only have ever known KC as online, and you're fine with that. You're like, you know what? I love the messages. I love the music, whatever it is. So you're participating at arm's length. I want to challenge, and I want to encourage you to take that next step and come in, to come be connected, come be a part of the community, because here's the thing, you don't want to be alone when you are challenged for your faith. We're stronger together. You want to have people around you who can support and equip and encourage you and stand with you in these times. So I want to encourage you to get connected. Right? Belonging to Jesus means belonging with his people. It's not a solo act, because we are brought into this community. We are empowered to change, and we are equipped to withstand challenge. God, I want to thank you that so much of what we have just talked about is not something that we can do on our own, but something that you desire to do in us. So Spirit, would you be challenging our hearts and our minds? Would you be bringing forward things in our head that you want to change? And God, I pray that the people of KC, the people listening, would go, yes, I want you to change these, Jesus. I want you to change these, Spirit. And that we would see the landscape and the culture of our city radically change because of it. So God, make it so. Amen.